scump prasa.
That's our intro.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Scump Prasa. This is the show where two Prasa talk movie news, reviews, shorts, and some cack in between. My name is Ross.
And I am Jody.
And I'm Abby.
Hi, Jody. Welcome.
Thanks, man. Glad to be here.
Welcome to episode 2 of today's recording session.
Keep saying don't show them magic.
I mustn't show them the magic. This is the first time that Jody and I met.
Yeah.
Ever.
Let's see if there's chemistry.
Yeah, let's give this a solid go by getting into the news.
Our wear, news and shorts.
Top Gun Maverick. This fucking movie is just killing it.
I am so desperate to see this.
How desperate?
So. You know, no, she complains that I make dad jokes.
Yeah.
But when they hit, girl, when they hit, girl.
She says she's not going to laugh after she busts
after she just busts
herself. So you are so excited.
So.
And you want to see it in IMAX. And the
hell
thing is,
yes.
It's Tom Cruise, man. He's got the chalabalas.
And look, you and I spoke about how this, bruh, is one of the few people who cares about our movie-going experience.
Yes.
And it seems like, based on all the news coming out of this film's success, that it was worthwhile.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll see, you know. So he waited. This movie was delayed for a long time.
It was delayed since COVID.
Yeah, exactly.
2020. That's when it was initially slated for release.
Yeah, and Tom Cruise and the team behind it decided, no, they're going to wait. And now, when things are sort of relaxing, people are going to the movies again, they decided to release it now. And a financial expert said that Top Gun 2 is a turning point for movie theaters.
This movie is... It's already Tom Cruise's most successful domestic release in the US.
Yeah.
But also, it seems like we are finally getting a return to actual huge blockbuster.
Yes.
I thought Spider-Man made enough money to...
Yeah, I also thought that. So, who is this financial expert?
Yeah, I imagine it's
Scott Sheridan.
Nah, bruh, he's not going.
Abby's trying to take Knoxville out, but he's like, he's...
The episode just started.
He's like, where am I? What is that? I just woke up. You have to pick him up, love. That's it. That's it, boy. You need to pee. Remember, you're on diuretics.
Mm. Even I went to go pee pee, Knox.
Mm, that's true. You look as slow as you
are. He has no lust to go out.
You're right. I mean, Spider-Man No Way Home, that made fucking
bank,
one point
bro.
What?
Yeah, that made bank.
That made a lot of money.
Huge
so.
Money.
He's saying record-breaking box offices, whatever.
But look, I think what he says perhaps makes sense in that we have other movies outside of the scope of Marvel. Because Marvel has got kind of their built-in audience. Even their not great stuff is going to make a few hundred million.
Yeah, just a few.
Just a few.
So it's the highest grossing Memorial Day weekend movie of all time.
Yes, yes, that's the four-day weekend in the US.
Memorial Day, that is to remember 9/11. Oh, but they always saying never forget my 9/11.
And that's probably that, yeah.
No, it's not that. He's veterans.
I trusted you, damn it.
No, it's just like, I don't know. There's so many big men, dude. Let me forget. So that makes sense in terms of that. That surpassed Pirates of the Caribbean 3.
Yes. So.
Return of the Cat to the Caribbean. What is that movie?
Dead Man's Chest. Yes. No. Sorry. Dead Man's Chest.
No Tales.
Yeah. It wasn't it.
Dead Man's Tell No Tales. At World's End.
Yeah.
That's the bad one. No, the fourth one is the really bad one.
Yeah.
Okay. Got you.
And the fifth.
So, it makes sense. I mean, Tom Cruise must be happy with this.
Well, as happy as a Scientologist can get.
They're very happy all the time. I mean, well, you're happy if you're not
reason.
If you're not David Miscavige's wife, then you're happy.
Yeah, you know, if you're not missing it.
Where is David Miscavige's wife?
Bruh, there's a Scientology church.
I know.
Just down the road.
I'm dry, yeah, I know. It's all right. I keep my eye on him.
But also, if Scientology wants to sponsor this podcast,
yeah, we're up for it.
Write us at biscobrussel@gmail.com.
Look, we'll definitely get access to Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
I don't know about
Travolta.
John Travolta.
Would you want Travolta access?
Look, he's made some classics, you know. I would like to talk to him
He's also made that movie where he plays a movie fan and he's...
That's the movie I want to talk about. Just ask him why.
Bold choice.
But anyway, I think the main thing that I'm happy with is that the movie is good, apparently.
It's apparently better than the original. This is how to do legacy sequels. We will hopefully cover it soon.
Yeah, we'll cover it. Ooh, one of our favorites, Jody, Galaxy Quest.
Yeah, when we still used to do retromendations, yeah, this was highly retromended. Yeah,
I flippin' love this movie.
Love it.
That's so dope. But a star has commented on possible revival.
Missy Pyle, that way.
Listen, that's why I said a star, and it's not like the main cast, but it was the love interest of Tony Shalhoub's character.
Yeah, she also played that Franz Saloneskovich in Dodgeball.
That woman.
Yes.
And she said that she knows of a new script that exists.
Dude, if they are doing this, I would be so down with a sequel.
No, me too. I mean,
even referencing the big gap between the first and second movie.
Yeah.
Because the whole point of the first movie was this brilliant look at fandoms.
Yeah.
And like how they could cause shit.
Sci-fi fandom specifically. Yeah. Like, yo, everything about this movie is perfect. Did you watch the documentary?
No, I have not.
I'll give it to you.
Please do.
Yeah, Galaxy Quest. The Quest to the Galaxy. To I don't know what it's called. Right there. There's a documentary on the making of the film. And it's one of my favorites. But you also hope it's one of those legacy sequels that's good, obviously. So maybe Netflix won't make it. I don't know.
Let's hope not.
They're putting a lot more money into blockbusters.
Bigger, better.
Bigger, better, badder.
EA Sports.
It's in the game. We'll see. I mean, I don't know if this is the most reliable source.
Yeah, I mean, when actors come out with these things, it's like any actor can say,
"Yeah,
I've seen something." But we are optimists.
Optimists. I mean, but she, I don't know. I mean, if Tim Allen comes out and says, "Oh, yeah, I've read the script; it's good." Yeah. We're looking at
Last Man Standing, very public, right-wing activist.
That's how he gets you, eh? It's the roles that he chooses versus him as a person.
Yeah.
And he tricks you.
Acting.
Yeah. It's make-believe.
Also know that.
But he always positions himself as this cool dude and whatever, but he's, yeah.
I would love for another Galaxy Quest.
Oh, yeah, let's do it. I mean, I said, let's do it. Like, we have, like, part of it.
It's solely dependent on you and I supporting this idea.
That is true. This is an interesting one. Kevin Feige reportedly almost left Marvel for DC during MCU Phase 2.
I call Matt's cuck. Literally knew no bounds.
But it's that classic thing of, like, you're unhappy with your manager and you start looking elsewhere.
But it's also that classic thing of your manager is a misogynist and a racist.
Yeah, yeah.
And you start looking for success elsewhere.
100%. And I mean, it makes perfect sense. I mean, that's his wheelhouse. He's a comic book lover. He produces comic book movies. And I mean, that's the other company that you would go to.
Exactly. And to contextualize, Kevin Feige was pushing for things like Captain Marvel, the Black Panther films a very long time ago.
Diversity.
He wanted that stuff in the Phase 2 of Marvel to already be pushed through.
Exactly. Black Widow should have been made in Phase 2.
Ike Perlmutter is like, women and non-whites don't sell.
Don't sell.
Toys. So we're just going to keep making action superhero movies with white men.
Get me another Chris.
Yes. What's Pine doing?
And then he was putting feelers out, and he apparently, like, DC was looking to recruit him at one point, which I think, like, imagine the impact of that.
I view it as a big sliding doors moment with us having.
Yeah, sliding doors. Do people get that reference?
I hope.
That Gwyneth Paltrow vehicle sliding doors. Alternate reality.
Ben
vibes.
Affleck was in there also.
Was he?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Back tattoo and all.
Oh, yeah. Phoenix Rising.
Yo, that sliding doors reference. So, imagine where DC would be right now if Feige was there.
And Feige was there and they backed him.
Yeah.
Because, look, Warner Brothers aren't the... They don't have the best track record.
They don't. Also. They don't have a... Look, they bet on the wrong horse, in my opinion.
Yes.
With Zack Snyder.
Yeah. Like, putting all your eggs in that one basket was not a good idea.
And I think if Feige was there, he would have handled things way differently.
Well, maybe... Perhaps Zack Snyder wouldn't have been the wrong horse in the hands of Kevin Feige guiding that process.
No, he would have.
Visually, Zack Snyder is still a compelling director.
Visually, fuck that.
Respectfully, that's cuck.
That is cuck. Because Kevin Feige prefers storytellers.
Yes, he does. That's always
been... You can tell.
I was talking to Jen about Iron Man 1. Because she was saying, like, the movie still holds
up.
That's
the best. That's the best MCU origin movie.
And if people know how the making of that film was, it was guerrilla style.
Guerrilla.
They barely had a script.
Yeah.
They were
in the heart of Congo.
Yeah. Filming the sequel to Congo.
Congo 2. More Congo.
More Kong.
Congo wrong.
Oh, we have to workshop that.
But yeah, that was, you're right. They didn't have a full script. They were, you know,
it was literally
willy-nillying.
It was literally just like,
yeah,
day by day they were putting that film together.
Yeah,
but you had a Kevin Feige who had faith in Jon Favreau.
Yep,
and like you said, the emphasis on storytelling
100%
was central to the success of that movie.
That's comic books. Comic books is storytelling.
That's why they have a market.
Yeah. And when you put a person like Zack Snyder who can't tell a story, this is where we find ourselves. And DC is being saved by people who have worked with Kevin Feige.
Yes.
Think about it. Yeah. James Gunn.
Yeah.
The other one.
Yes. Well, Patty Jenkins didn't
She didn't actually. But she fucked up, so I lost faith in her.
You know, Wonder Woman, brilliant.
Wonder Woman 1984,
man. Not so much.
The universe, the actual universe would have been way different if he had gone to DC universe.
And what would have happened to Marvel?
What would have happened? Under Ike Perlmutter.
How many more
Chris's? It would not have been as successful as it was.
Hell no. There's no chance.
And they made the best decision. I feel he went and he said, look, I cannot work with this man. If he stays, I'm going to leave. And they said, you're making us a lot of money.
You told us the story about Kevin Feige beating Mark Ruffalo, being like, if I'm here tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
This shit's going down.
Yeah, exactly. He didn't know. So, I'm glad he stayed in the MCU and he stayed with Marvel. But in the same breath, I really want DC to find its feet. And I think they're starting to.
Now, yes. Yeah. And also, look, our favorite superheroes come from DC.
That's right.
And the fact that they haven't been able to make a success with the bigger established characters is sad.
Sad, so
but,
sad.
But like you said, they're getting there.
They're getting there.
And on that note.
So George Miller, I think he's 105. How old is he now?
Yeah. Your age thing is off the charts.
Yeah, off the charts. I think he's like...
He's old.
Yeah, he must be 200, close to 200 now.
Oldest human alive.
Still making movies. So he
in Australia.
In Australia.
That's why they all are on location.
He is he's keeping the Australian film industry alive, I think.
Man alone. That Australia film.
Yeah.
With Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman and Nicole Kidman. Two of the best Australians.
Yeah, single-handedly pulled it back down.
Have you seen it?
No, it looks so bad.
Yeah, see. But he was talking about how he was trying to cast Tilda Swinton in Furiosa. He said it was the first thing that he thought about.
And he just could not make it work.
No, he couldn't.
He was so desperate to cast her. Look, at this point in his life, he's kind of earned people's faith that whatever ideas he comes up with, let him run with it.
Yeah.
So I would have been fascinated.
I don't think he can run, actually. I don't think he's about 10.
But he can guide you.
Yeah, yeah.
He can point you in the direction. True.
In his wheelchair.
In his wheelchair. With his little voice box machine. Run this way.
So, he regained that faith with Mad Max Fury Road.
He did. And I would have loved to have seen what his ideas for this character were.
Yeah.
there's already all the excitement slash little bit of anxiety about Anya Taylor Joy being in this film.
You have anxiety?
Well, remember, it's not anxiety necessarily, but people were pissed that Charlize didn't get to play Furiosa.
I am a little pissed.
Which I am still frustrated by.
Yeah, but I'm upset.
But Anya's like one of my favorite actresses.
I don't care.
It's the eyes, Ross.
I don't give a fuck about the eyes.
You don't give a fuck about Anya's eyes?
No. Why would you put Charlize, right, in such a great role? And she killed it. She stole the show. And then be like, oh, I'm going to make a story about this character, but not with her.
But I would argue that...
Don't argue.
Having that character...
The devil doesn't need an advocate.
You and Jenna. You and Jenna.
No, he doesn't.
Despise me for that.
He doesn't need
But
an advocate.
I would argue that Charlie's doing the character once off makes it more iconic. It's like Heath Ledger doing the Joker in one film only. And that is the legacy of that
he
character.
He died.
What's your point?
He would have returned if he did not die.
But then would the character still be as iconic is what yes. I'm saying. No, you don't know that.
Of course he would
no.
have.
No.
He would have.
No.
No, you can't just say no and then carry on.
End of. That's how you win an argument online.
The thing is, it all depends on the story. Like, I get it. You wanted to make a prequel and now with you cast younger people, this is a possibility you could get a sequel to that prequel. But... it's all about the story. And if they had written a great story around Furiosa, she could have made an amazing movie.
That's true.
So it's like, it all depends on that. You can say, like, no, it might not have been, but who will know now?
I agree with you.
I feel like the chance should have been given.
I agree. I also want Charlize. I wanted Charlize to do the character again. But I do see room for the argument of having it be a once-off and focusing on a different person playing that character
is not a bad
idea. Don't say that.
Yeah, it should fail.
Don't you dare.
No, Chris Hemsworth is there. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
You sound just like everyone when Mad Max Fury Road was being made.
No, I'm sure the movie's going to be fine. It's just like...
we'll see.
I want Charlize... like, what has she been in? Like, she must fucking be... she's South African, man.
Yeah, but she's got the... she's playing Clea now. She's got a really big Marvel role as well.
Yeah, but is it big? We don't know how big it's going to be.
I hope so. I'm hopeful.
Yeah, but you're too hopeful.
Yes, I am hopeful for today.
That's a new day. Best and better my today. Wait, what movie is that from?
Coach Carter.
Coach Carter. That's the trope where they tell you where all the characters are now.
Yeah.
Snooki is in jail. Batgirl. Yo, Batgirl's also gotten backlash, eh?
Yeah.
Like, fucking why? What are people's problems?
It's a woman, Ross. Women can't do the stuff. They should be in the kitchen, damn it.
That's right. Not be, you know, superheroes. How dare they?
How dare they?
But the Batgirl director has officially announced that Michael Keaton's Batman is in the film.
Yeah, directors. I don't even
know what fucking universe we're in now.
I don't think there's a DCEU so much as a we'll see what works.
Yes, it's very, very strange. But this is releasing to HBO Max, eh?
Apparently, it's supposed to come out in 2022 still, which is we're halfway through the year. I don't know.
You know what I blame for that? I blame Ezra Miller somehow.
Yeah.
That's easy. They fucked everything
up. It's all linked.
They fucked everything up.
So, I don't know if I like this announcement. Why? Because...
but we saw the pictures. We saw him.
Yeah, but that's in the flash, right?
Oh yeah,
that's in the flash.
Okay.
My issue is that it's almost now like they are proving the point that Batgirl's success is contingent on having someone like Michael Keaton with his name attached to the film instead of just standing on its own feet. Which I feel like rather than keep Michael Keaton as a surprise cameo or surprise whatever, but I don't feel like they should have announced it. It's like it feels like they don't have faith in their project now. They felt the urge to push this.
If you work for DC? How can you have full faith in your project?
And the other favorite abusive director was previously attached to this movie, Joss Whedon.
Yeah.
There it was like... It was like, okay, Joss is doing the movie.
Yeah.
He knows women. It's going to be great.
Yeah, he writes women well.
Yeah.
Also, and, look at my dick.
Yes, or else.
Yeah.
I can make things hard for you.
Yes, yes. Oh. But you're right. I think I agree with you there. And so it's like they should have had more faith and they would be like, this is Batgirl. This is going to be your definitive Batgirl. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah. I don't know. He's old as shit, too.
Yeah,
he's like, what, 90?
Yeah, Michael Keaton, 91 at least. Look at the other story that's being teased there is that there's a Jason Todd connection. So they are selling this movie on everything except Batgirl.
Yeah.
Like, why?
And I like Batgirl. I've read like quite a few stories with her. She is so much fun.
I like when they don't force her to have a relationship with Bruce like they did in the Killing Joke animated film.
Don't get me started on
outside
that,
of that. Like
the, I don't know why they choose to
fuck
like,
up comics like
that. Yeah, it's like they take these iconic stories and then just be like, no, we need to do something different.
We need a love connection.
For what?
We need a love story, Ross.
Nah, man. Anyway, when is this supposed to come out? You said 2022.
I have no idea when they're planning on dropping this film. There's not been any trailers, obviously.
No, there's fuck.
We're halfway through the year. When are they planning?
There was one image released. And then there was backlash.
Now, you see, now again, now the movie drops, if it's still dropping this year, there's been no promotion for this film.
No.
Now the film's unsuccessful. Then they're going to say again, shit, like, women-led films don't succeed. This is why you can't. Like, you know, pin the hopes of your studio on woman-led superhero movies.
Yeah.
But they're catching on cuck with us.
Leslie Grace. Oh, so I'm Googling her. I forgot what she looks like. That's why she's not white also.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just misogyny. It's racism as well.
You know, our favorite duo.
They go hand in hand, huh? Hand in hand.
Like a horse and carriage.
Like poor, in the Obi-Wan Moses.
Oh, yes. That backlash,
Yo,
Star Wars fandom.
What the fuck was that about?
Because remember the whole, what's her name? What's that actress's first name? Tran?
Kelly Marie Tran.
Who got written out of
But like
of Skywalker.
That's what pissed me off, actually, because now with the Moses backlash, Disney and Star Wars are actually saying something about it.
Yes.
But with Kelly Marie Tran, they didn't say anything. Even with John Boyega, they didn't say anything.
Well, with Kelly Marie Tran, they just wrote her out.
Yeah, exactly.
Because she had a huge role in the Last Jedi. And then in Rise of Skywalker, it's like, oh no, she's got other shit to do.
Oh, wait. You need to like get to a point where it's like, instead of trying to appease these toxic fans, you need to call them out for being toxic.
Well, stop putting up fucking rainbow banners in June and actually do the stuff, right? Like, actually show that you are willing to back actresses, back actors, back those who are being oppressed, who
exactly.
are being, for no good reason whatsoever, that you are willing to stand up against that type of misogyny and shit.
Fuck, man. I mean, did you see the post from Moses? What is her surname?
I can't remember. But I've seen the like, she said that how all of this backlash is getting to her and it's how hard it is to deal with it. As a black woman, like, playing an important character.
It's crazy. It's been two. That was after two episodes.
Yes.
They went nuts. So it's the same fucking thing here. And I think fucking Warner Brothers is just like, I don't know now because, you know, people are racist and shit. What are we going to do? Then why are you fucking casting? If you're not going to back these people and stand by it, why are you casting people of color?
Because it must look quiet to do it. Look at us. Look at us.
If you make that decision and you choose to show diversity and represent people, go into it 100%.
Exactly.
Fucking condemn these people who are saying, oh no, not my Batgirl because she's black girl, you know. Fucking say, you know what? Fuck you then. Don't watch the phone.
Exactly. But they don't want to ostracize potential money.
It's all about the money. It's all about the dum-dum, da-da-dum-dum. I don't think it's funny.
Say it straight away.
See it fade away. Kegi, Wordy, Jody, fucking District 9
sequel.
This
happens.
Like, come on, man. Specific moment. So the District 9 sequel is based on a specific moment in American history. What?
Yeah. I don't know what he could be referencing. Full context. Neil Blomkamp, director of District
9. Yeah, I was just like, I didn't read this one. So I looked at the fucking headline.
Neil Blomkamp, director of District 9, one of our favorite sci-fi movies of all time and one of the best films based on South Africa of all time, South African movies, has come out and said that a sequel to District 9 is in development. But he's basing it on a specific moment or specific incident in American history.
I don't like this.
I don't like that idea at all.
I don't like this. I want to return to South Africa.
Yeah.
What is he doing?
Pandering to a
why would you so this is my thing. Why would you pander to an international audience if your South African story was already greatly successful?
And is what made the film unique.
Exactly. And you want to see the conclusion of what Jacob, what is that man's name?
Vikas.
Vikas, yeah. Vikas. You want to see the conclusion of Vikas' story. Do you know what I mean?
I agree with you 100%. I feel as though we had such a compelling story already.
Yeah.
That is what we want to see more of. Even if you just expand in within that world.
Yes.
Right? You don't, I don't even need to know more about Vikas and how he's changing into a prawn.
Yeah.
But show me more of the world. Show me more of that South Africa that people loved within South Africa with the sci-fi element to it.
Yes. It just seems like you're taking everything that was special about that film and the only thing that's there is the name.
Yes, because it was good enough to get you the attention that you desire, but now you like need to pander to the an American audience, so you're going to target an American incident. And which, what incident would you in any case want to...
JFK, I don't know, what is 9/11?
Well, I don't think you can even...
That's too... Yeah, you can't touch that one.
And we want more District 9
in our set. We've been asking it for how long
We've been on the phone with him weekly.
Yes, I'm like, Neil, my bro, what is going on? And then he does Chappie.
Yo, the Antwoord haven't aged well at all.
That's a potkak, that whole group and that movie for tech.
Yeah.
Child abuse, yeah. That story. Daniela Melchior.
My favorite actress from the Suicide Squad.
Yeah, she was in the Suicide Squad. She was Ratcatcher 2. And she is going to be joining Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 because that's what James Gunn does, doesn't he?
Yeah, James Gunn is loyal to...
He works with people. He likes working with people and then he uses those people.
Yeah, I mean, what's his name? Rooker, Michael
Rooker. Rooker, Michael Rooker.
And... and Philon.
Philon, philanthropy.
Yes, Philon. The guy from Castle. That
Nathan Fillion.
Nathan Fillion.
Yeah.
I think the two of them have been in every James Gunn film.
Yeah.
So he's loyal, but also he just writes amazing characters.
I think like he gets them, man. He knows what they're capable of. After working with them, he knows what they're capable of. He knows their range. He knows them as people. And he works in characters there that really work for them.
Yeah.
And that's what he does.
And like I said, she was my favorite character in Suicide Squad. She was the heart of that movie.
Mm.
Guardians of the Galaxy is basically filled with heart. Mm. That's their whole vibe.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm very interested to see what role he's written for. It's not a huge role.
No.
He has come out to say...
She's alien also. She's like an alien.
So, but yeah, I'm excited for it.
Yeah. I'm excited for this movie.
Mm.
After like seeing the trailer for Thor, Love and Thunder.
Thor 4.
Thor 4, the fourth Thor. That's kind of like, because they, I mean, him and Taika Waititi, they kind of expanded things in a way that like no other directors could have.
The whole cosmic side of Marvel's universe is in their hands.
Oh, yeah. So it's like, it's nice to see that trailer look so great. I mean, they're appearing in Thor, Thor 4, the fourth Thor. So, I assume that Thor is going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy 3 as well.
Probably at least in some small capacity.
Yeah, I am, for these two movies specifically, I am super excited.
Yeah, 100%.
Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey is a horror film where Winnie the Pooh kills people.
And Piglet.
Piglet the Zookla.
Yeah, they've gone feral.
Yeah.
As they do.
Yeah, they do. They do go feral, but... The reason that they can get away with this is because Winnie the Pooh is actually in public domain.
Because, what's his name, Milner, A.A. Milner, the author, has been dead for how long now?
75 years.
It's that thing, right?
No, it's not 70. Yeah, I mean, the copyright or whatever has expired.
Yeah.
And he's now in the public domain. The Maine. It's the same thing with like Disney stories, those fairy tales, but you can't tell Disney stories. So you can use those characters in your own films, like Pinocchio, Cinderella, and so on.
And Sherlock, that like a smiling Sherlock can work.
Yeah,
a
smiling Sherlock can work. But what the fuck is this, Jody?
This also shows you the importance of these public domain laws. Because otherwise you get psychotic shit like this.
But apparently this isn't the first time that these people have done this.
And what else have they done, Ross? Enlighten me, please.
They made another film. Fuck. I wish my memory was... That is the official trailer where he's sitting there. Sitting there talking about, yo, this looks cheap as shit, though.
What's his honey that's fallen off?
Oh, my God. Yes, yes. Give it a googs. Listen to your brasa. Give it a googs. And look at this fucking tree. There's a picture of him and Christopher Robin in the back too. Julio. But they did this before. They also used another character and they made this cheap horror movie with another character that's in public domain. But why?
Built-in audience. Why? That's why. You know those kids who love Winnie the Pooh?
Yeah, yeah. They grew up with Winnie the Pooh.
They accidentally end up in these scenarios.
I mean, this is obviously what they were wondering. What if Winnie the Pooh just started killing people?
I 100% believe that is exactly what they're going for. Parents will accidentally buy tickets to this thing and send their children to watch it.
Yeah, blood and honey. It's like Sausage Party when people also bought tickets for their kids for Sausage Party.
Not knowing.
So, are you going to watch this? Is the question.
I sincerely doubt it. If I'm being honest with you, which I always.
Be honest, yeah, be honest with me.
It's a solid no from me.
Solid. It looks really, really bad, I must say.
Truly terrible.
Like the, yeah, but not like fun bad.
No, there's no fun in this.
Yeah,
this just looks like flat bad, out bad. Horrible. Oh,
but if done well, maybe it'll be fun to see. Like
give us an example of a movie that's been done well in that way. Chippendale?
Wow. Yeah, but they didn't go
for not the same. Or, no.
Yeah, no, nothing
they
comes to mind.
There aren't any.
Okay. Yeah, maybe. But I mean, the new Pinocchio looks fun.
Hashtag not my Pinocchio. There is no Pinocchio in the trailer.
It's just Tom Hanks.
Yeah,
Geppetto. What more would you need? Story. No, I think they're keeping it like for the reveal. You know,
but
what I mean?
Your title character.
Yeah,
it's a bold choice, Carmen.
But it's Tom Hanks, man. They went with Tom Hanks.
A Tom Hanks Geppetto is all you need.
100%. He doesn't speak like an Italian, though.
Yeah, keep it gooky, Tom Hanks.
He
keep,
needs
it gooky.
To keep it a gooky. Yes, sis. Fucking Winnie the Pooh. This is cock, Jody.
Sec, it's time for a review.
Righto, today's film is Indemnity, directed by Travis Tout. Is it Touter?
Touty.
Touty. Ross is good friends with Travis.
Nope, not. I knew his sister in high school.
This is a South African film, and it's about an ex-firefighter who's falsely accused of killing his wife and who must fight for survival when connections are revealed between his past and a wide-ranging government conspiracy with terrifying implications.
Ooh, starting.
This film stars... Okay, let me get it in order.
Wow,
Jared Geduld, Nicole Fortin, Gail Mabalani, Andre Jacobs. I have the thing.
Abby lost faith in you, bro.
I don't know why she's so.
Yeah, you're not on your spot.
She's giving us a back, my bro.
Yes, yes.
That's her 1989 T-shirt here. Who out is that T-shirt? Anyway, starring Jared Geduld, Nicole Fortin, Gail Mabalani, Andre Jacobs, Chlomla Dandala, who I've not seen again.
Yo, another all-star.
And then I also want to shout out specifically Lofenter, the villain of this film, our brooding henchman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is a South African film, But it doesn't look like a South African
film.
This
film does not look like a South African film at all.
I mean, not that we're trying to diss South African films, but we just used to. It has an international quality to it.
Yeah, and I think that we've spoken about the investment that MultiChoice, TakeNet, and Netflix have pumped into South African films, but that's often movies that release on streaming.
If they merge, they'll be called Cake Netflix.
That's
I'm sorry, golden. These things just pop in my head. While
golden.
I am listening.
Release it. Release these Krakens, bro.
So, yeah, we were talking about that.
And a lot of that money has been pumped into films which release on streaming.
Yeah.
But this film is very cinematic.
This film got an international release.
Yeah, and I can see why. It is very polished. It is very, very well shot. And let's get into it.
Yeah, okay. Well, listen, ex-firefighter.
Yeah. He's an ex-firefighter at the start.
We get right into it. And he goes through a traumatic experience. There's a shack fire and he loses a couple teammates.
Yeah.
And he feels responsible.
Yes. Which is explained later why it is, but why he has those feelings.
I will start by saying it was so much fun to see where I live.
Yes.
In the film.
It is like the South African locations. This is a unashamedly South African, but also unashamedly Cape Town.
Yeah, which I really enjoyed. Like, you know, sometimes when they make a film that is set here and then they write dialogue that sounds unnatural.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't feel authentic.
Exactly. This movie is predominantly Afrikaans.
Which I didn't know going in.
Me
because
neither.
Of the international release aspect and the trailer, which was very English focused.
Yeah.
I thought it's an English film. Which, like you said, then there's degrees of authenticity that you can feel.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Whereas this is, like you said, it's mainly Afrikaans.
Yeah.
And it feels South African and Cape Townian.
100%. And I was like, now you couple that with the location. I was like, I was sitting there. I was proud. I was proud.
I was very proud.
I must say. Look, we might be biased.
Slightly.
But like, fuck that, my bro. Like, I love this country. And I'm running for president.
Yeah.
No, I'm joking. No. I really love this country. We have our issues and whatever. So I'll admit I am biased because I root for the underdog. And I want our films and our stories to be told.
And this is a film directed by a colored person who's from Cape Town.
Yes, who was at high school with me.
And
he was a very good swimmer.
Amazing. You can see it in this film. It is slick.
slick like a freestyle.
But also it has a colored man as the lead actor. So
yes.
I mean, look, we, like you said, we are biased.
We are biased. But, I'll
but also there are really so many things to be proud of when watching a movie like this that is so well done.
Yep.
And yeah, I'm all for it.
Jared Geduld is our hero. I don't know him from it. You consume more local stuff than I do. So where is he from?
My mother-in-law loves Bompi in Arendsvlei.
His name is Bompi.
Bompi in Arendsvlei. So he's done a lot of local soapies.
That's cuck, man. And if you don't know what the Bompi is, man.
Yeah. It's one of our favorite.
It's like a fat bunny lick.
It's a meal.
They still sell Bompis. My favorite was a guava Bompi.
No. I had front teeth, Ross, so.
You guava, didn't eat Bompis?
Guava is for people with no front teeth.
No, you don't? Look at Jody. Look at Jody, nah? Shitting on our heritage. Bruh, guava Bompi till I die, son.
No, I like all the other flavors, like the peach and apricots, the very sweet ones.
Man.
Very sweet ones.
Yeah, listen, Prasa, what's your favorite Bompi? We'll put it on our social media.
Yeah, let us know in the
comments. No, let's actually ask people now, to be fair.
And respond right away. We'll shout you out.
While we're recording. Okay, you guys, we have a bit of a debate going on. I say the best Bompi is a guava Bompi.
Hashtag not my Bompi.
Jody says otherwise. What's your favorite Bompi, Jody?
Peach and apricot.
Yeah, that's a cuck Bompi.
Lekker.
Guava. What's your favorite Bompi?
That milky ones, my bro.
No, guava all the way.
No.
Anyway, so he played a Bompi.
Yes.
Is this
not a Bompi? Yo, if he's a method actor, he's screwed.
Like Jared Cadult in a freezer somewhere.
Anyways, he plays Bompi in Iron's Flay, which is a very big local soapy, also filmed in Cape Town.
Yeah.
So people will know him from there. But I think a conversation you and I have had many times about South African movies is that often we try and do things that make us unique.
Yeah.
Where I felt that you don't need to rewrite the script of like what international films are doing. But you could just put it within a South African context.
100%.
And that is wholeheartedly what this film has done.
Yeah. You put it in that context, it's already local. And that's what we should be doing.
You don't have to do more.
No.
It's really just like, use those action movies with all of their cliched tropes and whatever, and put it in a local context, and we'll have fun.
I had fun.
And this movie proves it.
Yeah, I had fun.
We had fun also because we had
it was a
brilliant audience.
Yeah, I mean, the people behind us, it was like watching, oh my word, it took me back to like Kismet days when people would felt the need to comment while they were watching the film. And it just enhanced the experience for me, especially with this film, I must say.
It really did. I mean, these were clearly big fans of Jared Cadult who was sitting behind us.
Listen, we'll get into it in spoilers.
They were leaping themselves in for all aspects of what happened to his character.
So he's going through PTSD. He's on medication. It's like quite hectic for him. He doesn't seem like a happy man at all.
Yeah.
He has a wife and son. His son was really good, I must say.
Yes. The actor who played the son was the comedic timing there.
He's a natural. And, you know, the story unfolds and he's trying to get his life together. But then someone contacts his wife. His wife is a journalist and says, your husband's in danger. They meet, whatever. And I don't want to get too much into it, but he wakes up and his wife is dead next to him.
Yeah, and that sets him on the journey for this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it's like our favorite action movies.
Yeah, which is
like anything with Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson.
Yeah, but also the stuff from the 90s where it's like you...
90s Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
Rob Roy.
Yeah, you know, majestic.
Yeah.
No pee. Dried pants.
He didn't wear... Yeah, well, he wasn't wearing pants in Rob Roy. It was a kilt.
True. I thought he was more shirtless.
So he could go...
Shirtless.
He could go like...
All day.
Easy peasy. you're right.
It's like those action movies that we loved from the 90s where you don't need much plot.
No.
Like, you just need a reason
Bourne-esque.
Yes.
Like him trying to find out exactly what happened because he does not know what happens. He has blackouts and he's now trying to obviously clear his name and find out why and who and what the fuck happened.
Yes.
Cuck, mad.
Yeah.
Running through Cape Town.
PTSD is a big discussion point as well. And
A little heavy-handed with the PTSD thing.
Yeah, very heavy-handed, I think. But again, like I said, these are all just kind of mechanisms to set our protagonist on his path in this movie.
Yeah, he's on a path. So,
a war path.
Yeah, I mean, Jared Cadult, to me, looks like he has some sort of martial arts.
Yeah.
I think he does jujitsu by the looks of it or something.
But also, dude, the stunt work in this film is crazy. I feel like he did most of his own stunts because...
It looks like
The editing was very clean. So there's not a lot of rough cuts or quick cuts unnecessary.
Yeah, you know, some like that Liam Neeson jumping the fence.
Yes.
It's 25 cuts and he's just jumping the fence. That's not your
angles.
You can see the action clearly.
You can see his face.
Yeah.
So you know that it's him doing all of these very, very intensive action sequences.
Yeah. Sometimes, I mean, we cringe sometimes when he was launched against the wall.
I literally cried out sometimes. Yeah.
And the people behind us as well.
Oh, yeah. They were
in it to win it.
But I saw some online criticism saying that some of the action looked overly choreographed to them.
Okay.
And I feel like that's a bit of an unnecessary complaint because...
I also think so.
It's very well done.
Yeah.
And I feel like, why find that reason to complain about a movie? Almost like it's too well done.
Yeah.
So that's
was
your
this a
issue.
Local review?
Yes, a local review.
Now you see, I feel like also like critics looking at it through a local lens is also can be quite harsh, where they don't have the same judgment necessarily for a US film.
Yeah, and you'll be more like indulgent of those movies.
Yeah.
You know, because I've signed up for that type of experience.
Mm.
I feel like I signed up for that type of experience in terms of I'm going to watch a pure action film.
Yeah.
So if the action is well choreographed, if the scenes are well edited, if the story is, you know, the story functions to serve the action, so what? I feel like that's a really stupid thing to complain about.
Yeah, and him uncovering the mystery, the cops get involved, and they also trying to figure out. But it's just like, yo, I felt so bad for this bruh. Like, he's after the murder of his wife, and it's just like everything goes wrong.
Yeah, it's like a constant, like, you. It gets to the point where you don't know how this guy is going to
get out of.
Yeah,
because that's usually how these things end, isn't it?
Yes.
Like, he does this, you know, he causes mayhem all over the city, but in the end, it doesn't matter because he cleared his name and he didn't commit the original crime.
Yeah. Listen, we had a geographical complaint.
Yeah, there was one.
Which is so cool because we are from Cape Town. So we know that this is like...
Yeah, he couldn't get... He was in
the
Goodwood.
The accident happens on the end too.
Yes, he was in Goodwood and then he was in the end too.
And then he's in St. George's Wall.
Yes.
But he's apparently hiked there.
Now, like, how the fuck did he get there?
But this is something that we would never understand about an American movie,
exactly.
Right? Because we take it on good faith that everything they're showing us is possible.
But to their credit, there was another scene where it made total sense because they were in the
with city. The geography,
yes,
and
exactly.
It totally worked.
And I was like, oh yeah, that works.
But it's so cool that we can finally say those things because normally in these movies we can't. We just have to, like, you know, yeah, it makes sense that guy hiked from that location in San Fran to wherever else.
Yeah, no, fuck. That was really fucking cool. Overall, like, look, it's a fun action movie. I do feel the PTSD thing is a little bit heavy, and it does take a little long to get into the action and stuff.
Yeah.
But when you look at the set pieces and what they actually accomplish, it's amazing.
It really is. I do also, like I mentioned in the when I spoke about the cast, Ernst Vol Jun. Is that his name?
Yeah, Ernst.
Yeah, Lowfenter.
Lowfenter.
Who plays the henchman in this film.
Yeah.
He's
so menacing, eh?
You talk about menacing and, like, really just pulling off that villain completely.
Yeah.
We also have the Minister of Defense. Who has... Okay, wait, shit. I'm going to spoil
it. Yeah, you can't spoil it now.
But I will say Lowfenter as that henchman character was brilliant.
I think everyone is good, to be fair. Like, the... what's her name? Williamson.
Renee Williams is Gail Mabolani.
Yeah, the race thing confused me a little. I thought she was a black character, but then her name...
But the name sounds...
And our Afrikaans suggests flawless. Otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you and I can't...
Here we know, not a fuck. But I feel like everyone was good.
Even the characters who we initially were like, you know, we don't know if they're good or bad, which side of the fence they're on.
Yeah.
And we also don't know if we like them within the roles.
Yeah.
I feel like I warmed up to everyone by the end of the movie. Like, there's no character where I was like, nah, I just really didn't like that character at all.
Yeah.
Everyone fulfilled their functions within their roles very well.
Well, that's what you do in life, I suppose.
Yeah, but it doesn't always happen.
Doesn't always happen, you're right. It doesn't always happen.
I think the other thing is, again, for people who watch soapies in South Africa.
Yeah.
There are so many guest stars.
Abby, you watch soapies, no?
What the fuck? I don't even have.
Gosh, she's packing your files 8 years.
No, but because she refuses to pay TV license.
SABC's going to come.
Yeah, don't put that laundry out there.
There are so many, like, even if it's like cameos by people who are prominent soapy actors in South Africa. So I'll say, as another fun experience, just look out for all of the various cameos. There are lots.
There's a lot. I mean, there's all stars all over the place. You know them. You love them. You mentioned Hluma. What's his name?
Dandala. Hlomla Dandala.
Hlomla Dandala. I mean, I also haven't seen that guy in a while. And
the first interracial kiss on South African TV was Hlomla Dandala with that, I don't know the woman's name.
Oh, the dark-haired woman.
Yeah, Pippa.
Okay. It was great. He was amazing.
He was brilliant.
He's got it, bro.
Like, bringing warmth to that captain at the fire,
like
the commander.
Strong but caring, the old velvet glove, iron shit. Dope.
I also really like Gail Mabolani in the character's role. I don't know if I fully liked her character's arc where it ended.
I also, without spoiling anything, the two start on opposite ends, yeah, and then they sort of cross, yes, and then they switch to the yeah, roles that you thought they were going to be.
But her portrayal of that character was brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. She's a stunning woman as well.
Brilliant.
So, yeah, what did you cry or not, Jody?
This is a cry from me, dude.
It's a cry from me as well. Not only was it a lot of fun, but the cinema experience was a lot of fun.
It really was.
Yeah.
And I would strongly, strongly encourage people, get to the cinema to see this movie.
Yeah, get to this. It's still showing. I don't know till when, but we need to also support local cinema.
100, man.
No, more than 100. I hope they make more than their budget.
100% capacity.
Okay. So let's get into shit. I uninstalled that one now.
Yeah, we had a Majat spoiler.
should I try another one?
Try. Go for it.
Okay, there we go. Let me turn the volume up. Spoiler alert. It's just vibrating.
Ah, that's good. Is that the thing? Nah, man.
What? Oh, there's another ad. Anyway. Okay, guys, we'll get it right, I promise.
Angela Abrams dies.
Yes. Jared Geduld killed her.
Yo, that was fucking heartbreaking.
Yeah, he did kill his wife.
Yo, that twist was...
It was a whole setup thing, and you know, usually with these things, it's, you know, he's like, he said, they're trying to frame me and whatever, yes, but he actually killed his wife.
But it's a Manchurian Candidate vibe.
Yeah,
right? So
explain that vibe, Johnny.
Yes, the plot of this film is essentially our Minister of Defense has this idea to take over Africa for Africans.
Yeah.
Part of the idea is assassinating people through this program that they've initiated where you create assassins with people who have gone through PTSD or have gone through incidents in their lives, yeah, that cause PTSD.
Yeah.
So during their treatment, they actually become conditioned to become assassins for them with no memory of the events.
Yeah, so specifically like soldiers, policemen, and like firefighters, anyone who works. I suppose EMTs would also be involved in that.
Yes.
But the funny thing is this man that's trying to get Africa back for Africa is a white man.
Yes. No irony whatsoever.
I was like, okay, colonizer.
So the one person I do want to shout out there, Abdurrahman Adams, who played Sam Isaacs.
Yeah.
I think that his portrayal of that, like, you know, the guy who works.
Yeah, the loopy guy who's like, has the evidence.
I have all the evidence. Yeah. He was
so good.
So good in that role.
Yeah, he went a bit early for me.
Yeah, I would have liked more of him. I wanted more interaction with Demon Jared.
Exactly. Yeah, I thought that was cool. The action set pieces. The building, when he goes from one floor to the other.
Yeah.
Yes, like
no,
it.
No, it's fucking...
I was on edge there.
And again, the way that they shot that, it looks like it is Jared Goodall doing everything.
It does.
I mean, I cannot see a moment where they had stunt doubles doing the stuff.
But let me set the scene, because this stunt itself was so fucking dope. Not only because it was like in Cape Town and I've seen that building and I'm like, oh my God, if he falls, I know how high that building is.
He's dead.
Yeah. So he's in the hotel room. He's cornered and his idea was he gets the pole and he ties a sheet to the pole and he's going to climb down to the next floor below. He starts doing that and he's about to like get onto the other floor and the cops start pulling the shit. I was like, yo, this is fucking crazy. They start pulling him up. And
we were edge of our seat.
Yeah, edge of our seat. And so he decides he's going to let go and just drop to the broken window that he just kicked and land with his hands onto that glass. I was like, ena kapena.
I was like, there go my fingers. I'm about to fall.
I was cringing there. But there was such a dope stunt. And it was so well done.
Yeah, and I mean, look, I think that those drone shots that they use for those things, it's so clean,
so clean,
so well done. The tension was just insane.
Yeah, it was a bit too much.
as expressed by the audience.
Another scene, action scene, was the elevator fight.
Yes. The way that they framed it reminded me a lot of Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
You know, confined space. Again, though, so well done in terms of...
They built that set.
Yeah.
Mm.
But when you normally do shots in these confined spaces, you normally get like a very messy... You can't really see where the punches are going because there's very little move. Yeah, shaky cam / quickie cut type thing. Ross loves when I do that.
Fucking hate it so much. It really chaps my ass off. But yeah, so because they built that set, they had the freedom to like properly frame things and show exactly what's happening. I actually wanted, because it was so local, I wanted that henchman to like whoop out the okapi or something.
Well, dude, I wanted Jared to drop a Yo Massa at some point.
We were
and I felt
we
it was building
it.
To it authentically.
Oh, man.
There were people who deserved it.
My favorite line of dialogue is when Jared takes the henchman's phone and he's in his car and he calls the last number. And the villain like answers and he says, "Hey Tay."
Yeah, we Tay. Authentic, dude. It's authentic without feeling like it's patronizing
or a caricature
of
the character. Yeah.
It's really just it's this international styled film done within film. Hot damn.
Like how more local.
I've been influenced.
How more local can you get?
You must go watch this film, my bro. This international styled film that is done locally.
Fuck, I'm gonna put that on. Cucks, nuts.
Also, can I just say that people are shitting on my pigeon apricot flavor?
I'm glad.
In the messenger.
Yeah, fucking guava till I die. So, listen, yeah. Also, so the it was cock funny.
You have to read some.
I'm gonna read. Because of the people that were sitting behind us, I fucking loved their commentary. It was
that
so
was a
funny.
Running commentary.
The one scene is when he goes to the station. And the news is obviously blasting that he's a fugitive and whatever. And these people have just greeted him. They're friends.
Yes.
Now they're sitting in the rec room and they see the news story and they're like, "Oh, Jared. Jared's a bad guy.
Theo.
Like, yeah, Theo, yeah. Sorry. Jared, I'm sure he's a lovely guy.
Yeah.
So Theo is a bad guy. So the guy goes to the phone to obviously phone the authorities or something. And this woman behind us says, "Who kijk for stupid?"
It was like the amount of times that we just like absolutely canned ourselves.
Yeah, with they fucking choking this guy out, and then this woman is
like, "Cut slap." Yo, it was.
The fact
it was
that they,
so,
so I mean, I did see a couple of twists coming, and but they did not. Because anytime something was. That's just so good. I. Loved it. I usually don't like people talking in the cinema, but I think with this movie,
it added
in this
the
context, it was a truly South African experience, and I fucking loved it.
Yeah, it's like, you know, when if you watch something like The Avengers and the audience is into it,
yeah,
and they are like,
yeah,
it's the gasps in all the right places, the shouting out in all the right places.
Yeah,
this felt like that because like I also like I hate when people are talking in the movies.
Yeah.
This didn't feel like that at all to me. It's really like they were so invested in the story. They couldn't help but talk to the characters on screen.
They couldn't. I will say this though. I did want Jared.
Theo.
How about the fuck? I did want Jared's character. I wanted to see a little more of him being a good father and husband.
Yeah.
Like they only touch on that. They really highlight these issues that he's having. With the PTSD and whatever, but I wanted him to be like, so I could root for him a little bit more because I wanted it to show like he would never do this. He would never kill his wife.
Yeah.
Look at how good a father he is. Look how good a husband he is. Mm. So it will make even more of an impact when that twist is revealed. Mm. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And I feel like, okay, it didn't hit as, I mean, it was a good twist.
Yeah.
It hit hard for us, but I think it would have fucking knocked us out.
Yeah, it would have been a gut punch.
Yeah.
Like totally. If like you said, they maybe just invested a little bit more time in that aspect of the character.
Yeah.
Because as you said, the movie, we get right into it. We are shown that there's this traumatic incident which frames his current PTSD.
They spend a lot of time showing that. It does take a little bit long to get into the action.
It does, but also we're then told subsequently that there's actually another incident involving his parents and what actually led to him being an orphan.
Yeah.
Also, where they died in a fire that he felt he was responsible for.
Yeah.
So they frame his PTSD in that way. But with regard to the relationship between his wife, with him and his wife and him and his son, they, I also would have liked a bit more of that.
Yeah.
Because the actress playing his wife, also, she was quite compelling in the short role that she had.
Yeah, she was great.
It wasn't a lot that she got to do, but a bit more in terms of that emotional side would have made that later twist even heavier.
Yeah. What did you think of the end, how things resolved itself?
Yeah, it's... I think it's perhaps not pandering to a Hollywood ending to a degree.
I know, but to a certain degree, we are also conditioned to expect a certain ending in these types of films.
Yes, like... In these movies, you normally scope skit and donor and everything's fine. And everything's no consequences. Fine. The world is...
Yeah, but is in the end, sorry, Jenna, spoiler alert, Jared goes to jail. Theo goes to jail.
They work on getting him out.
Yeah.
But the hopeful ending we get is that initially he's in jail and he's like, I deserve to be here. I don't want to live on.
Yeah.
But then the policeman who gets completely reframed in this movie as it goes on, we thought he's perhaps a bad guy.
We thought he was in on it. So that's the thing. So
Renee
Williamson.
Yes.
Initially, we think, oh, she's trying to save him. And I think she is. She's trying to figure out exactly why he's doing what he's doing. And she's looking at it more holistically than the... What is he, a general? No, he's a sergeant.
He's general, yes. He's quite high ranking in the police.
And then he's looking at it more like a man. And this guy's caught so much. We need to fucking either capture him or kill him. And then
Because two of the policemen who were killed were actually captains who worked under him, who had a relationship.
Exactly. And then those two characters kind of change roles as the movie goes
on. Yeah, it's like the more we go in, the character of Renee is forced into switching sides because of... money and threats to her family.
They give money and threats, just you in know, case, which is weird. Twofer. Like, why would you not just threaten them?
Whoop and honey. Bro. Yeah.
honey covered whoop.
Yeah. And then this general, actually, out of his own volition, starts actually investigating the claims that
But you said you didn't like her arc necessarily.
I don't like...
Because she ends up being arrested as well.
Yes, and I feel like her arc... She understood Theo's character because her husband turned on his family and didn't succeed in killing them.
Yeah.
But she understood that Theo doesn't look like the type who would have actually done that purposefully.
Yeah.
And that's why she wants to investigate what he's doing.
Mm.
And then suddenly she's almost coerced and forced into becoming a bad guy.
Yeah.
You know, like we think that she's going to help Theo and then she ends up arresting him and giving his son to the villains.
Yeah.
In the film.
Which is fucked up.
Yeah, so I...
I feel like I was
rooting for her as well. And then she ends up just totally, you know, she's arrested. And
then Low Jube... What's his name again?
The general.
Yeah, well, he's not a general. What
he is. The only thing that says on my screen for him was general.
Okay, well, he's like a boomer. Because when they're talking to him about PTSD, he's just like...
What's that?
Yeah. Have you tried just feeling better?
He's General Alan Shard.
Yeah. So that's quite funny because he like discovers, okay, it's a real thing or whatever, and he tries to help him. So she gets locked up. Theo gets locked up. He did actually kill his wife and he's like fucking in that Paulsmore outfit, but he's hopeful.
Yeah, and what I was saying there was that they actually bring his son in. To show him that he still has something to live for, he seems to acknowledge that.
Yeah.
So the ending we get is that he seems to choose wanting to provide a life for his son still.
Yeah.
Because this General Shard is trying to get him out.
Yeah. They are a little like leaps of logic. Things don't fully resolve and things just happen. But in the end, it doesn't really matter, I would say. I think it's just a lot of fun. And the action, like the hand-to-hand stuff is just so slick and well done.
It's so far ahead of anything else I've seen from South African movies.
But it helps that Jared Gedult is a fighting man, looks like.
It looks like it,
He's geboomd ho.
Geboomd ho.
He's got that low center of gravity.
he's also...
He flip people.
It looks like they really trained for this movie.
Yeah, 100%. I really enjoyed it. I think you should watch it. Indemnity, while it's in circuit. I don't know what's going to happen after it's off circuit. I assume it's going to go to streaming, probably Showmax or something.
But honestly, like, get to the cinema.
Yeah.
This movie deserves our support.
Hopefully you have a pair of colored women who are quite vocal behind you just to enhance that experience.
Exactly. That's the only way to watch it.
That's the only way.
Colored woman who love Jared Kadolf. Yeah. Make for a fantastic audience.
I had a lot of fun and yeah, Indemnity.
Dude.
Do you have any shout-outs,
yeah,
Joey?
We have a lot of shout-outs.
We have live shout-outs.
We asked the question earlier, and we got some responses.
Yeah, so we asked the question about the bumpy situation.
We have Lyndon Collison telling us that peach and apricot is a whitey's bumpy.
Yes, he's right! Peach and apricot is a whitey's bumpy, you whitey.
Casual Dork Podcast, big friend of ours, says, put respect on the apple bumpy. Peach and apricot, my G, what?
but I feel like you made that up.
No, it's a flavor.
Look, Jawahir is also Jawahir Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
She also voted apple for the win.
People don't know what they're talking
about.
Yeah, and then Calligraphy Rose. Calligraphy Rose gave my favorite response.
She says, listen, guys, please. Mandela didn't die for the apple bumpy to be disrespected like this. On a holy sister Sunday, Nuchal, shaking my head.
Whatever. And then we just
got one from Farid Bardin. He says there is no other bumpy than let's get that quote exactly. There's no other bumpy besides guava. Okay, maybe apple. I must say, I never went to Apple.
I never had. Also, I don't know if this is just a location thing, but by me, the Bombies were called a JC. And the JC
That's a white thing. It's a different
that
thing.
Is the only Bombies we had where I grew up, guys.
Okay, we have to say something.
And there was no apple in the JC flavor range.
We have to say something. No, not yet. Wait, this is live. Okay. It's the rat attack.
This is live, babe.
Okay, we're getting your bumpy stuff now. And then Jody has an issue, though.
Yeah, in where I grew up, it's not north or southern suburbs. It's the Strand. We had JCs, not bumpies.
So I went to Groote Schuur High after primary school, and there was JCs. So I think JCs stands for Jesus Christ. No, it stands for a whitey bumpy. That's a whitey bumpy.
It actually stands for just colored.
Guava till I die, I will accept apple, but guava till I die.
Peach and apricot.
That's you getting no love, bro. No love with peach and apricot. So that's the bumpy debate.
And that was our shout-outs also.
That was our shout-outs and our bumpy. And listen, if you want to find out where we are from, what we do, and who we are, and which bumpies we like, how could someone do that, Johnny?
Go and find us on Instagram, Bioscope Rasa Podcast on Instagram, as well as TikTok. Don't forget to hit the subscribe buttons for notification buttons on Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen to your podcast. Give us 5-star reviews.
5-star.
That's a belief.
Well, super maze meal.
Yes.
Super maze meal.
Working on our sponsorships.
Super maze meal.
If you like the show, please go and give us a 5-star review and also leave a review as well.
Yeah, the reviews help us to... I'm not sure how they help us yet, but they help us.
Apparently.
Yeah. And you don't give out our email anymore.
Because we've given up hope.
Yeah, we have.
No one writes to us. But if you want, bioscoperasa@gmail.com.
Truly. Remember to stay safe. Stay safe, everyone. Safe, Jody.
Safe, Ras.
And keep it a gookie.